Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, what do you do when the customer you think you're serving turns out to be a ghost? That's the question we ask on Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown, and quite possibly, the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That it is. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or even email your audio file to us. Send it to Tony at realghoststoriesonline.com. Of course, you can write in at realghoststoriesonline.com, the website as well. And keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. You sign up on the website, ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. There you get access to our hundreds of bonus episodes, more than 300 of them right there for you to binge away on, filled with our best ghost stories. You also get access to our advanced episodes, which are ad-free. You get our ebook, our audiobook, all sorts of extras to enjoy binging away on as we begin to get into the ember months of the year. This is airing in late August, but we're about to get into September very soon.
Mm-hmm.
And then we're starting to think about Halloween, which I've been working on today as far as getting... As far as prepping shows for this show, Dark Side of Wikipedia and the Grave Talks, we're getting into the planning of the October episodes right now, booking guests and figuring out themes for some of the shows. And it's kind of fun. I always enjoy that because you kind of can go down some rabbit holes that you don't get out of for a long period of time.
Yeah.
But that's been my my morning, a little bit of starting to dig into October. I'm excited about it. I got some good pictures up, if you have not seen them, of a haunted house. And I don't know a whole lot about it other than from what you've told me is that people have claimed to have seen a little girl not hanging out the window, but in the window.
Yeah.
What do you know about the haunted house I'm talking about?
Exactly what you just said.
All the details are right there.
That's all I know is a classic little girl looking out an upstairs window ghost.
Yeah. And this is in Prairie Grove, Arkansas, on the battlefield park land.
The Borden house.
The Borden house. And not Lizzie Borden, not...
No.
Not take an axe or anything like that. But I got some of those up on my Instagram page and the Ghost Podcast Instagram page if you want to check those out at Tony Bruschi or at Ghost Podcast and on Facebook as well. But my parents were here for a little bit, which it was nice to connect with them. I've not seen them in a year. And we were trying to figure out things to do and a lot of outdoor activities.
Yeah.
So we got a lot of walking in and a lot of walking around. We went and walked around this battlefield, the Battle of Prairie Grove, which is right in our area. And a lot of really neat historic homes. And I got some good creepy photos taken.
Mm-hmm.
I want to wander around there in October. In fact, Harper said to me specifically, she's like, Daddy, on a spooky night when it's, you know, fall and just kind of creepy out, you know, like the dusk time, which is just, I love that time. She's like, can we come over here and go walking around? Like, yes, we can, baby. We certainly can. So I owe her a trip there in fall to wander around a creepy haunted battlefield, which is something I always hope my 7-year-old daughter would request that we do.
Well, and the Borden house was there during the war.
Yeah.
That was not one that was moved to the property later. There are some older buildings that were moved to the battlefield park, mm-hmm. but... The orchard was actually started by the family back in the day, and it's open to the citizens of Prairie Grove now.
Which is interesting because the orchard is where a lot of death occurred.
Yeah.
Battles happened in this orchard. This orchard actually didn't come up after the war. It was there before the war and still is there.
Mm-hmm.
Big apple trees.
Yeah.
Like some of the biggest apple trees I think I've ever seen.
Well, yeah, they're really old.
Normally, like, I didn't know they had that kind of a lifespan to them. I wonder if they've, like, other ones have come up, but they're all they're all maintained well, but the community can go get apples there. But you got to think in the morbid sense of things, oh, that's why they grow so well.
Well,
there's a lot of blood spilled right there.
It's why it's why cemeteries have big, giant, beautiful trees too. There's a lot of fertilizer.
Yeah. We picked up some acorns.
Yeah. We want to grow some oak trees.
Maybe can you get a haunting from a oak tree that was from that location? Because if so, I'm really kind of interested in getting a lot of nuts and seeds from this park and spreading them around.
Yeah. I don't know about that because, I mean, we're talking,
many a seasons since. But it's interesting. It's interesting when you have things like that. Plants especially where you're like, this is from that area. My mom brought me some seeds when they were here. Seeds from... What was it?
Hollyhocks
that my grandpa had planted in town when they had a house there, like in the 50s. Mm-hmm. And this house is gone. I remember seeing these hollyhocks growing as a teenager at the backside of a parking lot along a fence line. And I didn't realize that my grandparents had a house right there once. Uh-huh. And I remember I would park my car there in high school most of the time, and I'd see these plants growing. I remember one day my mom saying, yeah, your grandpa planted those back when they built or had a house there, and they just keep growing. So years later in the 90s, my mom actually went and got some of the seeds and planted her own hollyhocks from those same ones that he had planted years ago. And then she brought me some seeds so I can plant them too. It's just interesting because it is. It does go down that line of where it's these things had seemed. Yeah. It's like families. It's like people, you know, it's in that line of the plant. It says you have lines of people that have seen different things in different places. It's interesting when you can have an object or a plant. It's a living thing, you know, that has also seen some interesting history in its lineage. So I don't know, maybe that's my obsessing on it more than others, but that's I find it interesting. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That'd be interesting. I wonder if that could be a thing for some of the haunted places out there. This is going to happen now that I'm saying this. Watch. And you can all feel free to steal this idea.
Okay.
If you are the operator of a haunted location, here's what you should do for a souvenir offering. And maybe there's laws against it, so look into it first. It would be selling the seeds from the trees or the plants that are on the haunted property as a souvenir. Because there's so many people that are into that stuff. Like, oh my gosh, I can't. Could you imagine? Like, they would sell like hotcakes, especially if you're trying to market your location as a haunted attraction, not, you know, like literally an investigative one, like the Conjuring House or something. Yeah. If you were to sell the seeds from things like that. And, you know, because a lot of these places, the only reason they're still standing is because people are funding them by investigating them. Mm-hmm. It has been a lifesaver for a lot of historic buildings. So I can't say anything really negative about it because it's allowed these places to survive.
Sure.
I think this could be another avenue right there where I think you'd have a lot of people who are into those investigating and all that. You don't even have to go to investigate who will be all about buying a $25 packet of seeds from
$25 packet.
I think it's fair. I think it's fair. It's from the house.
There's
it's super
no
unique.
Guarantee that it's going to grow.
No.
$10 bucks max. Otherwise, that's just stupid and greedy.
I think it depends on the... I think you can get $25 for an Amityville tree. And I think you could get, like, for a Conjuring, you know, a pack of seeds, too.
No.
10 acorns from the Conjuring House. $25.
No. I don't think so.
Whatever you want to price it at. But I think that would be an interesting thing to sell from haunted locations. I'd probably buy one.
Yeah, you probably would.
I probably would.
At $25.
But I bet a lot of people would. I bet it would be a neat thing. Like, this is from the seeds of the tree that grew at the so-and-so house. I think you would have people buying that. And it's authentic. And you'd have to do it real. You can't just go buy seeds at the co-op and resell them. You know, be honest about it. Mm-hmm. But I think you could make a little extra money to help with the upkeep of these places, especially at this time of year. It's not this time of year, it's time in the world, especially when there's so many things that are, you know, that was their lifeblood to stay open and stay alive. And some are allowed to be open now, some are not. If you're looking for some extra ways, NTR, non-traditional revenue, there's a way to maybe do it with a haunted location. So there you go. You're welcome. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Let's go to our first ghost story of the day. It says, I write this from my office at work, as I could never write this at my home. Far too afraid. I left you a voicemail the other day on my drive home. However, I was very scared to be audibly speaking about what happened to me as a kid, and it was a bit mangled. For that, I apologize. I've been sensitive to spirits since I was a child. I've had them in my elementary school, the Walmart where I worked as a teen, the Lowe's where I worked as an adult, as well as where I work now. We call the spirit in my office Hobo Joe as a joke. The spirit in my elementary school was unknown, but it would bang stall doors in the restrooms and hallways. I've physically seen entities multiple times in my home and the Lowe's where I worked as a young adult. His name was Richard. He passed away from a heart attack in 2009 when the store was opened, and since then, Register 13 has candy thrown from the shelves. An 8-foot-tall roll of carpet, possibly 80 pounds, nearly fell on my head. It came so close I felt the wind off it as I walked past. The reason I know it was Richard is because down that same aisle is where I saw his spirit walking clear as day. I thought I was hallucinating when I first saw him. However, later, I confirmed my suspicion with coworkers who had also seen him, and some even knew him. I was sitting at the desk at around 10 p.m. when the store had just closed. I was in the store a lot at night, and I was closer. I was taking a sip of coffee, and out of the corner of my eye, I saw a man walking down aisle 44 at a good pace. He was not a mist. He looked genuinely like a customer. It was in a stare. It was there after we had closed. He had black hair, glasses, heavy set, very pale. I realize saying a ghost was pale seems cliche, but he truly was pale as death. He was blotchy, too, in a strange way. He had spots of red on his face. To this day, I wonder if that is from the heart attack. I turned my head towards him, and thinking he was a customer, I said, "Sorry, sir, the store is closed. We'd appreciate it if you picked out your final items and head to the front." As I finished the sentence, he disappeared right in front of me. After the occurrence that night, I would go on to see him several more times, or seeing rugs pulled out of the shelf that I had just put away. After hours, so I know a customer could not have done it. I was emptying the trash one night, and with my head down, I saw a pair of white tennis shoes next to me. Thinking it was a customer, again, I cannot stress how real this spirit looked. I looked up and asked what they needed help with, and there was no one there. Apparently, the spirit knew me, as I came to find out. My manager was walking down the aisle one night with another manager, making sure the store was empty. On a night I was working, he asked, "Is Sabrina still here?" And as he said that, a motion-sensing alarm we use on boxes to deter theft started going off on the topmost shelf of the racks right next to them. Naturally, growing up with spirits, violent ones, I was pretty used to dealing with ghosts. It's not even close to how bad my house was growing up, so I learned to deal with them. However, after the incident where I was nearly hit with a very heavy rug and knocked out, I transferred departments. I felt his presence occasionally, but was never attacked again. At some point, I'll write in at least a short excerpt of my experiences at my childhood home. Thanks for your time.
You know, I would think as traumatic and quick as a heart attack death is, that he wouldn't be trying to do devious things, you know? Mm-hmm. It makes me wonder if it really is the coworker that had the heart attack or not.
Is it the coworker who had the heart attack? I mean, could it be just as humans can do dumb pranks too sometimes? And underestimate the amount of damage or danger they're putting other people into? Couldn't a ghost do the same thing, thinking, I'm going to knock this off the rack because I can do this now? And like, oh, shit, I almost actually hurt somebody.
I guess so. It's just, was that how they were when they were alive? That would be my question, because I would think that they would probably still have fairly similar personality.
That's a good question. I wonder about, it seems everywhere this individual goes, they're running into ghosts. Is it that these buildings are haunted? I mean, this almost kind of takes you to the, operational theory that, well, every place is haunted. and to a certain extent, and there are certain people who will pick up on spirits almost anywhere, especially a large public space where a lot of people come and go. I could see areas where maybe no one has ever lived or inhabited not having anything there.
Yeah.
But, you know, for the most part, something like this, I could see you having energy at no matter what, and they're picking up on it everywhere. But it seems others are as well.
Mm-hmm.
At this specific store. I've never really thought of a Lowe's as being haunted. Or have we had a story about a hardware store or something?
We've had a story about a body supposedly buried under a Lowe's.
Yeah. Yeah, we did. I forgot where that was. But we don't have to say even if you remember.
I don't remember the details. I couldn't tell you where or anything other than there was a potential murder that somebody got under some concrete.
Yeah, I remember that. What I'm most curious about these days is, where was the Toys R Us that was haunted? Let's do a little
I forgot about the haunted
live
Toys R Us.
Research on that.
And why was it haunted?
That was in California.
Yeah.
Well, it was haunted because it was built on this old farmland, and according to the legend of it all, it was something where, like, the lost lover, you know, was coming back trying to find his lost. That's how they presented it in 88.
And they have to forever haunt a toy store.
It was on the land.
Uh-huh.
That's where this occurred. Sunnyvale Toys R Us closed in 2018 in California. This is from the San Francisco Gate. The store was built in the 1970s as part of the Toys R Us expansion to California. Almost immediately, employees reported strange happenings. Toys would fly off the shelves, people felt phantom touches, and faucets turned on and off by themselves. It became legendary among paranormal investigators in the late 70s when it played host to several scenes by psychic Sylvia Brown. One of those seances was shown on That's Incredible, launching the store to international fame. In the episode, which features a number of delightfully terrible reenactments, Brown tells the story of a so-called Toys R Us ghost. According to Brown, she was able to make contact with a ghost, a laborer on the farm that once stood on the spot of the new store. As he walked down the hall towards me, he kept saying, "Have mercy on me, Beth," Brown related. She also claims she, two of the ghost names, Jan Johnny Johnson, and gave some of his backstory. So it was on That's Incredible. It was also on Unsolved Mysteries. I remember that. So it looks interesting. There's been some debunking of the story as far as who she's talking about and the timetable, saying, well, that's impossible because the woman that he was apparently in love with actually died 30 years prior. The Toys R Us did close.
Well, but if she died 30 years prior, why is he walking around saying, "Have mercy on me, Beth"? Maybe ghost was haunting him.
That could be. That could be. Now, can a ghost haunt another ghost in the afterlife? Huh? There's a thought.
Could be, but I mean, maybe that's what he did, was he was haunted by her when he was alive, and then it, you know, maybe caused his death.
Sure. I'm just curious. Permanently closed. Toys R Us, Babies R Us. It looks like a very normal, you know, they updated it over the years. But I was just thinking it would be a great, because I've seen several of them turn into Halloween Expresses.
Oh, geez.
So when that, like, just constantly the things are being set off by the spirits in the store, you would never really know if it's a ghost or just another animation thing. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to our next story. It says, "Hey guys, my name's Ann. I'm from the Philippines. I want to share a story that made me confused as hell. 2 years ago, my friend had a pageant to attend to, and I was part of the team that helped her with her talent portion of the pageant. Take note, I was wearing taekwondo pants and a black taekwondo shirt. You'd recognize us from afar because of our taekwondo pants. But of those who do not know, it is those large white pants that people who do martial arts wear. Before the talent portion, we were free to go wherever we wanted to if it was not too far because it was nighttime. Our coach was strict, so of course we obliged. and it was for our safety. The team just lingered around the premises and we watched the pageant. Besides, we were too lazy to walk around. Many months after the pageant, I went to the gym and saw my friends, the one competing in the pageant, cousin, wave at me and I wave back. We talked for a while. We had a topic about the pageant and she praised us for helping our friend with her talent portion. The conversation went well until she asked me a disturbing question. She asked me who drove the motorcycle that night. I thought she was joking at first, but by the look of her face, she was dead serious. It was like, what motorcycle? She laughed and told me to stop joking around. She then told me that she saw me as a passenger on a motorcycle not that far from where the pageant was. She asked me or it, whatever you want to call it, where her cousin was, and I just pointed somewhere where she proceeded to go and then got lost. She lives near that place. It was impossible for her to be lost, and it was dark. Sure, but there were streetlights, and there was an event, so it was a lot of people wandering around. She said my driver was wearing a motorcycle helmet, so she did not recognize him, but she recognized me even with the helmet on. How? Well, we have the same Taekwondo shirts and Taekwondo pants. Coincidence? I don't think so. I mean, who the hell wears those big Taekwondo pants as a casual outfit? My friend also said that when she talked to this person, she looked scary and glared at my friend the entire time. Thankfully, my friend did not get hurt and found her way to their destination. To this day, I'm still very confused about that situation. We even argued because she said she was telling the truth, but I said I never rode a motorcycle that night and even told some of my team, and they got confused as well because I was with them the whole night. Anyway, that's my story. Is it a ghost story? I don't know. It's creepy. What do you guys think?
I think it's a doppelganger story.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's a type of ghost story. It's something posing as you with your Taekwondo pants, which is kind of funny.
What's the purpose of a doppelganger? Is there a purpose? Is there a reason why these things happen? You know, is it simply kind of a pause in the action that, you know, you ever have those things where it's like, damn, had I not clicked on that ad for the food dehydrator and then got down a rabbit hole of learning how I can make applesauce 72 ways this fall, I would have been involved in that car accident that was ahead of me. You know, things like that, that almost kind of hold you up.
Right.
And you look at timing and go, well, I guess everything happens for a reason, I think. Could sometimes doppelgangers be like that last ditch effort of the universe of like, shit, we didn't slow him down with, you know, that weird smell that was coming out of the drain. We didn't slow him down with your lost cat. Now, I guess we have to show up as some, you know, something really dramatic to make you pause for a moment and then or do whatever. So it keeps things on a certain track.
I don't think so. No. I don't think doppelgangers are there to be helpful. I think they're there to steal your identity to cause trouble in one way or another, mm-hmm. or do devious things. You know, I mean, we have angels and other coincidences and all kinds of things to slow you down, to save you from. I mean, even just a family ghost will stop you and slow you down to save you from something that's not supposed to happen to you.
Sure.
That it's not your time.
Okay.
But I don't feel like a doppelganger is that. I feel like they just decide, well, I'm just going to be that person for today and see what kind of trouble I can get into.
Just kind of a mischievous.
Yeah.
Type of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Yeah. Interesting way to, your way is probably a lot more logical than mine. Mine kind of goes down a weird road. But 855-853-4802 is our phone number. A real ghost stories online. I agree. Probably a doppelganger there. Let's go to our next story. Or they're about to start a new trend of Taekwondo pants. And they're at the very beginning. And
well, I tell you what. Yoga pants, you know, they're still popular. So why not Taekwondo pants?
Everything sees its time.
Yeah.
Everything has its kind of in thing. I mean, who would have thought, like, what do Taekwondo pants look like? I don't even honestly know. Are they kind of like...
I'm assuming they're kind of like Harper's karate pants, but I'm not positive because, I mean, all the kids that would take martial arts where she took martial arts would have the same type of pants.
Yeah, they're okay. I mean, they're not quite like MC Hammer pants or anything like that of the 80s, but no. They're baggy.
Right.
Yeah, so I get them. They're Taekwondo pants. I've seen Stranger Things become popular, you know, as just regular everyday wearing. I could totally see that being a thing at some point in time.
I think they would be comfortable.
Yeah, I bet they are. I don't know that that's, you know, it was the beginning of a trend, but at some point it may be. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. Hi.
Hi. This is the Pest. I know you haven't heard from me in a while, but this is the story I'm going to tell you about my father-in-law. My father-in-law and I are very close. He's a very honorable man. He's helped my family out quite a few times, plus helping my husband and I out. He even helped pay for my sister's funeral when she passed away. Well, due to unfortunate incidents, both my husband and I got put into a nursing care facility. My father-in-law would always come and visit my husband and I because we were in the same room together. And he's 86 years old, my father-in-law is. And if I get through with this without crying, I hope so. And if I do cry, I apologize. Well, he would come sometimes before my husband would get done with the errands that he does in the nursing home. He was a busy guy. And he would come and pat my footboard a couple of times or grab my toes. And he would go and sit on my husband's bed. And I had gotten used to that because my sight's gotten pretty blurry. That was his way of him letting me know that he was there. Well, one morning, my husband had to go out real early in the morning for dialysis. And I'm laying there, and it's still dark, probably about 6 o'clock in the morning. And I felt something thump, thump, thump on my footboard. And I'm thinking, oh. And I look down at my footboard, which, by the way, I can't move the footboard or make it do that. But I felt a thump, 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 and I look, and I see my father-in-law, and he's walking sideways toward my husband's bed. And I'm thinking, what's he doing so here so early in the morning? But when he goes by, he gets past my bed, about halfway in the middle of the bed, and he disappears. But of course, you know my story of seeing different things. That worried me so bad. So when my husband got home, he called, and he was okay. So I'm thinking maybe I was just imagining it. Well, a little later, his health started failing, and to get to the crest of the story, 2 months later, my father-in-law passed away. I know now that this is his way of telling me goodbye, because at the time when he passed away, I couldn't go to his funeral or be with my husband at the time. So that was his way of telling me goodbye. So, yeah, that's another memory for me. I hope you can use it. And good luck on all your new iPods. I'm listening.
Thank you for sharing that story. She affectionately likes to be known as the Pest because for a while she would call almost like every day.
Okay.
And because of the frequency at which she called, there was no way I could use every one of her stories, but I have tried to use several of them throughout the years.
Sure.
Because Glenda is her name, and she's very loyal listener, and but she always has great stories. And Glenda, let me tell you this: if there's a story, I know because you are a very loyal listener of our show. If there's a story of yours that you've shared that I have not played on this show yet, feel free to call it back in, because I like I said, I tried to use as many as I could without becoming the Glenda Show,
yeah.
essentially, you know, and she gets that too. But she always has some very interesting stories, throughout her life. So if there's one that I've missed, you know, it was not, you know, intentional. It was just, I was trying to grab ones that I was hearing bits and pieces of going, oh, this would be a good one to use. But if there's one you really want out there, do feel free to call, and you are not a pest. We do appreciate you, you listening to the show.
I think it was really, you know, it was sad, but a sweet story. I mean, you have to be there for your husband, but also, you know, I know you wanted to be there for your father-in-law, but I think it was neat that you got the death visit that you did get. You know, I think that's always a blessing when you get that, even if it is kind of scary or odd or puzzles you for a while. Mm-hmm. I do think that's their way of making sure that they have that goodbye for you.
Yeah, it's... it comes in different ways, shapes, and forms, and sometimes it's noticed, sometimes it's not. I guess the best thing we can say there is it's a good thing, you know, obviously it was pretty obvious that what's going on.
Yeah.
I think sometimes death visits come in very understated ways, too. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you go, was that real? Was that what I thought it was? Or somebody else has to point it out because you almost completely miss it. You know, depending on, you know, what, how observant you are of things at that moment in time.
Yeah.
So thank you, Glenda, for that. 855-853-4802 is our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person, an EPP. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com. or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get all the bonus material and help keep us on the air. Until next time, for Jenny, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.